In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. May the Lord help us. The purpose of the conference, I pray that it shall be achieved in the name of Jesus Christ, is for us to come together and hear something that would better our ministries. And I'm happy about what we're hearing from all the speakers. I'm happy, very, very happy. I remember the first ministers' conference we called, and there was a brother who was a minister associating with us before, somewhere from the north. And he sent me, but he suddenly disagreed with us for various reasons between me and him. And even enters the net to keep countering some of the things we believe. And then he told me, he sent me a text. He said, that conference I'll try to attend. And I told him, I said, no. The conference is not a conference for us to come and argue. It is for those who are already in the same line. We're not here to come and argue. We're coming here to receive. We know people who ask sincere questions. And we know people who ask just to distract. We know people who want to learn. And we know people who want to contribute to help others. They are the ones who want to gather, not people who come. Because even Apostle Paul told Timothy that, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. But we should do what?
Shun profane and vain babblings.
That is it. What will it result?
To increase unto more ungodliness.
That is it. Nothing more.
And their word we eat as doth a canker.
You know, avoid unnecessary arguments. Unnecessary. I had reason to visit one man years back, before even this ministry started, in 92 or so. He was to sponsor a business that we had a proposal for. Very wealthy, multimillionaire, and a member of the church was close to him. So we visited him to discuss the business. And when we reached there, we discovered that he was this either Grail Movement or a canker, one of those. And he saw it as opportunity now to preach to us, knowing that we've come to look for money. And he said something, just as an example. So we are talking. So apart from business, what do you do? I say I'm an evangelist. Evangelist, which kind of evangelist? I said, I'm a preacher of the cross of Jesus. I preach the Bible. He said, which Bible? Do you know that the Bible you people talk about is not even complete? Do you know this? So, what I told him was, I said, sir, do you believe the Bible is an inspired work of God? Even if it's not complete, the one that is there now. He said, I was trying to look down on it. And I said, so, these things that we are talking, how will it benefit us? You don't believe the Bible is the word of God. So, what is the basis for our discussion? You don't believe in what I believe. I said, sir, can we put that aside and talk business? That is what I came here for. He got angry. And turned and looked at the brother and brought me. He said, who is this one you brought? That was very, you know, I call it rude. You're coming to beg somebody to give you money. And they are talking like that to him. I told him, I said, sir, why are you getting angry? Do you think I came here to listen to a canker? I came here to get money from you. Let's not talk what I came here for. I told him we should leave his house. So I said, okay, sir. Amen. But that's the truth. You don't believe in my faith. What are we talking about? I think it was this year, sometime around February or so, I was out of the country. And I called a taxi to take me to the airport. It was these Arab people. I was driving and we were chatting on my way to the airport somewhere in the UK. And he said, what do you think about the faith? I said, I'm a Christian. And he said, he's a Muslim. And he said, you Christians, you know, the difference between we, the Muslims, and the Christians, is that you people say Jesus is the Son of God. But we don't believe that because God does not have a wife. And I told him, I said, yeah, I've had that argument several times because I come from a family where some of us are Christians and some are Muslims. So I know where you're coming from. He said, but let's talk about it. I said, I'm already used to it. I said, please, let's go to the airport. I said, because we never agree. I said, the birth of Jesus Christ is too mysterious for a blind eye to see. He was driving me. I said, unless God open your eye, you will never understand the mystery. I said, look at the question you are asking. God cannot have a wife, yet you are a child of God. How can you be a child of God without somebody giving birth to you? And they say, yeah, it has really been a real source of argument and things like that. I say, that is why I don't talk about it, because you and I for the next 5 hours we will talk and we will never come to an agreement. I said, therefore, please drop me at the airport and let's talk. Can we change this topic? You come from Iran. Then I turn and I say, why do you people hate Israel? So I changed it. I said, do you know that it is in the Bible and God is going to destroy all of you? Listen. When we come together like this, you must pick something that must help you. You are ministers of God. From what Pastor Olumide said now, you see there are two groups. You must fall under one group or the other. You see, you must either be Cushy or Ahimas. You must. So make your calling and election. Sure. That is one set. Or you are either Haggai or Shah Ashgaz. In Esther chapter 2. They are all keepers of women. Haggai is described in Esther chapter 2 as the keeper of women that prepares them for the king. And Shazgaz is described as the keeper of the concubines. These are the two ministries in the Church of Jesus Christ now. And people don't know the mystery behind what is trending concerning what you said. I know the whole world, they are waiting for me to speak. To defend you. And if this is not where I'm supposed to make this. I want to wait till we get to the church. Yeah, there's something I want to say. Do you know there are church members that disagree with you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you.
Very true, sir.
And some of them, amen. You know, the mystery of the, I shouldn't say it here. Now, church. Inside church. But I can say this to you here. I have told you something that when you start a ministry, pastoral ministry, and people are coming in, the first people that start the ministry with you are not your members. They are not. They are to cause the attraction for people, for your sheep, to catch the attention of your sheep that there's something going on here. There are gifted people in Bride Assembly Church. The only thing, the reason they are there is to attract the sheep that will come to Bride Assembly. That is all, to use their gift for that purpose. They themselves, they are not part of what is happening there. Some of them are like that. I'm telling you that in Bride Assembly Church, the man is at the altar preaching, and two people are saying, "No minder." They are saying it. But they want to identify. This is where you will know that this thing is great mystery, great mystery. You are in a church, you don't like the pastor, but you still remain there. And you came on your own. And you can live on your own. It's a great mystery. So these are some of the things we come here to learn, and it will help you. So when Pastor Olumide was making a statement about how somebody you bring up, you have brought him up, equipped him, then he lives and turns against you. It is the understanding I have that is why I am not angry. He only came to attract the real ones to come. And when he has fulfilled that ministry, he has gone. He has gone. So why are you angry with him? Amen. Because why will you... What is Proverbs 20 verse 20? I've quoted it on some occasions before.
Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness.
Again.
Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness.
Say very well, very well.
Whoso curses his father.
Read that very well.
Whoso curses his father or his mother.
What will happen to that
person? His lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness.
How can I know this? I get angry with anybody. I only be watching to see this day is this scripture fulfilled. Many of them is out of frustration. Nothing more. So when you know your scriptures, it also guides you in your response to some of the things you see around. Be focused and go ahead. Always remember the principle for life. It's a principle for life. Before you can pregnant your wife to have one child, medical science tells us you must have how many sperm cells? Minimum. Eh? You hear 15 million sperm cells, 100 million sperm cells, and they must be active and they must be healthy. And no matter how healthy they are, no matter how many, it's just to produce one. That is the gospel according to nature. To get one soul, one. I use it to answer one of my enemies one time, who said, he's not the crowd, his own church, he's a pastor, he started before me, somewhere in Port Harcourt. And then I saw other enter message pastors re-echoing it. Oh, it's not the crowd that matters. Hey, it's not the crowd. I've never boasted of crowd. How can I boast of a crowd? This one reached one-tenth of Oyedepo or the rest. In fact, this one, it even resell unit. No, so boast of what? Maybe he's saying in comparison to his own. Every time, it's not about crowd. It's not about crowd. Then I had to come out to tell them that I have more chances of producing at least one, two. Life, at least I can get one, two people that will be born again. I have more chances than you. We get only 20 members. That's the truth. And so, when you know these things, you are guided by the knowledge of the word. You are not easily distracted by people offending you, by the characters of people around you, by people leaving your church. Everything you see happening in the church, there is a solution to it in the Bible. There is a solution to it in the Bible. When you arm yourself so that people will understand what is happening. If anybody leaves your church, if anybody manifests any character, go back to the Bible. Who is this person? That is where we see the ministry of Ahimaaz. That is where we see the ministry of Demas. That's why we see the ministry of Alexander the coppersmith. They are all in the church. Demas forsook Paul. That means they were together. Not just sleeping and waking up in doctrine. But when hunger wire arm, his doctrine changed. There are still Demases that will leave you. There are still Demases that will follow, will go that way. So please, I pray that will help you. And as some of you that should be sincere to yourself, am I called to do what I am doing? Or I desire to do what I am doing? Do you desire or it is a call? Why did God back up Aaron? How did the Bible put it? No man, no one take this honor upon him.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4.
No man and no take man, this honor.
And no man take this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
And there was something that God had to do to confirm that he is with Aaron. All of you that claim you to are something, or you bring your rod and let's go to the ark and put it there. Bring your rod, bring your call. Bring it and let God confirm who he has called. I'm sure the way God will do it, all the other people's rod will dry. If it had any life before, when they put it there, it dry. Then the one that is called, bordered with what? Almond. From where oil is produced. So that the whole world will know. But despite that, even the vindication, you will still have Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They will still challenge. And so, when you are sure you are doing what God has called you to do, nothing shakes you. People come to me for counseling, ministers. Say, I don't know what is happening. I'm frustrated. Ministry is not going. I'm frustrated. I want to be very sincere with you. I sometimes find it very difficult to counsel such people. Because you want me to tell you that there is a witch that is disturbing you. Why it's difficult is that I don't believe that God will call me and the witch will disturb me. So I won't know what to tell you. So the only thing I always ask is, are you sure God called you to do what you are doing? If you say yes, then I will tell you, go back to him and tell him what is happening. Many of us don't know that God is more interested in your ministry than you know, than you are. Many of us don't know that he is more interested in your ministry than you are in that ministry. Because the purpose of God cannot be defeated. You see, there is something that I have tried to share before that will help you understand this God. I have found out, and please catch it. It will help you have your faith. I have found out that when I bring out a case for the whole world and I say God is going to deliver you here now, I discover that when everybody is watching as I'm praying for that person receives instant miracle more than if I'm praying for you in my office. Now, not too many people know that. The reason is you are thinking that I am the one that have the anointing. It is not me that have the anointing. It's God that is obligated to confirm his word. Because if it doesn't happen, his word will be questionable. So anytime you bring a case up openly, it is not your call you are challenging. It is the word of God you are challenging. And God is obligated to back it up. The integrity of God is tied to his word. But if you bring it up for vainglory, he will not back you up. So people are scared. I told you, I said I was in New York some time ago. And the brother, old enter message believer, he jammed us online. I say he had been following. He said, Brother Alu, tell me what is happening. I visited him. He had kidney problem. And I visited him. He said that anytime he watches, I'll bring somebody out and say, now, this problem will go. He said he will be saying, why is this man taking this type of risk? What if it doesn't happen? He said, is it a vision you saw, a voice you heard? What gives you that boldness? And I asked him, is there any day I did that and it failed? He said, no. I said, so, he said, that is why he's asking. What gave you the confidence? I said, the truth is this. Neither vision nor voice. The truth is there are two things that guide me. Number one is that, is there a word of God for that? Because I always quote the word of God. I quote it. You say, confirm it now. You say, Father. Oh yeah, confirm it now. Did he not say it? What he said he will do, that is what he. You know the confidence we have? Isaiah 55, verse 11.
So shall my word be.
Okay, go to verse 8.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Listen very well.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Now look at the description of his word. Listen very well.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and
as the rain comes down,
and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither,
it doesn't return when it releases a pour to the ground,
but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater.
Oh.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
What happens?
It shall not return unto me void,
but
it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
How can I have this? and doubt any word of God, doubt his ability to back it up. It's faith. And so, when you challenge God openly, it's opportunity for his name to be glorified. Don't wait for sensation. Don't say, I never feel up. We walk by faith. Not by sight, not by feelings. I'm telling you now, you see, the difference between me and many men of God is that anything I see, I share it with you. Even if I take Alabuku, it work for me. If you have problems, I say, try Alabuku now. At any time I discover, I share it with you.
Yes, sir.
I share it with you. Have you tried this? I have this. Can you take this? It work for me. During men fellowship camp, I said so many things here that I'm enjoying. I said, try it, it will help you. Now they see me, they jump like this, jump like this. Now what do I know? What are they chop? If it work for you, try it. Eh? Okay, you know it now. You know, since I said that, fewer people come now with waist pain. Because I told them what the cure for waist pain. I told the men, wait in the cursor. And what you should do to stop it, because that is what I do, and I don't get waist pain again, even for my age. Eh? I should tell you. I've been saying it now. I'm a medical doctor, so I'm careful to recommend any medicine openly. Although in Nigeria, we don't have regulatory authority. They will not catch me if I say anything. If I say it abroad, they will hold me. Praise the Lord. So what I know in the spirit, I share with you. Physically, I don't hold anything. Any knowledge I will tell you. Any revelation I hold, I will tell the ministers in the church. See what I saw. See what I understand by this. See this. The second reason that I have boldness is that I believe that God does not entertain us. I believe that God shows me your problem, he will take it away. If not, why did he show me? That is my guide. God is not going to entertain anybody. If he tells me, this is the demon tormenting you. And that is what I tell the ministers. They are very funny, especially the prophets in Bride Assembly Church. I think I was hiding, I was with the IT people in the afternoon. When Benjamin was saying, Daddy, where's Daddy? I was standing there. And those IT people were laughing. I said, he won't give me work. I go hide, he's not going to see me. He won't give me work. He kept looking, where's Daddy? I said, he won't give me work. They said, Daddy said, we shall anoint everybody. I said, you see, I told you he's going to give me work. What they do, and I've taught them this, but some of them don't want to learn it. See, the operation of the gifts, listen very well, including dreams you have. Any revelation God gives you, if it is bad, he also gives you the ability to counter it. He's not entertaining, he's giving you a prayer point. And once you say something over it, it is over. People don't know. You wake up from a bad dream. Watch how you are led. Sometimes you just feel led to start a fast. You kneel down immediately. The burden that comes upon you, you don't understand. You are thinking, you are worried. It comes with a body. Under that body, you wake up. Under that body, anything you say comes to pass. People don't know this. Instead of actively, they're looking for pastor's phone number. What prophet's phone number? Why you no show that prophet? Now you show. Learn these things. So this is what gives me the boldness. If God shows me your problem, I know he has stepped into that matter. And anything I say comes to pass. Amen. Another thing again is be very practical. God is very practical. See, some of you have seen me doing deliverance before. Where you see some, you see me shouting over anybody. You see me shouting over anybody. And people are thinking that, yeah, Pastor, get grace. Just say, gaga. It's not grace, it's knowledge. If you know what I know, you will do the same thing I do. You know, easy to know. Because that's the problem with the Christian faith. You don't ask questions. See, I am a woman is looking for fruit of the womb. That is why she came to me for prayers. Or, let me put it this way, headache, pains in the body. And they come to me for prayers. And I lay my hand, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Then begin. I know they talk again. I go to watch. Now headache and they pray for. Wait a minute, this is what they do like this. So I go stand. Nobody that prayer they talk to again. Now God they talk to Father, now headache and talk. I hope this manifestation is the answer to my prayer. I'm no more talking to that person. Now God that they talk to. Father, I believe this is anointed, taking care of that pain all over the body. I'm going to watch the person. Continue to the battle with them. And they watch. Now God that they talk to now. Father, if not, which spirit the warrior? The headache, I pray. I know, say me, you can't dance, so. Dance. I said, you can't dance. So, when the thing finish, I said, now check. It has never failed. Check the body now. He don't finish. If he stand up after the anoint, after all the dance, and the pain no go, where did he make the dance? Did I pray that you should fall? I pray you fall down. Bah! Now push and push you. You come for me to push you to fall down to dance. To die, a bit to fall down. So when you fall, they don't fall down. Oh yeah, stand up. Oh yeah, check. If you say it's still there, then I'm going to ask, what is wrong? That's why I doubt the anointing. I say, take it. Who? Bah! You fall down, finish. Check it. You are still with your pain. They go. We didn't push you. Now, this type of faith, God uses it. Amen. You have it. Can you see? Am I telling you that I do dry fasting? Did I say so? Did I tell you I lock myself for 40 days? And then I come out. I am never carried away with any revelation anybody gives me about myself. You see, when you say you saw daddy with fire everywhere, what comes to my mind is, where did I get the fire from? Because I traveled to go and rest for 10 days in UK. I was resting. And it's very, very cold. 4 degrees, 3 degrees. 3 days I never bath. So, I was always under duvet. You wear glove. You wear the one cover here. You wear this one. Wear 5 cloth inside. If you must go out. So, what did I do? Will give me fire. So, that means it is just God himself that has decided he will use me for this camp period that is coming. He decided, Not that I went to acquire anything. Therefore, nothing did not enter my head. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that when they ask, just imagine that you are a fornicator. You don't be fornicating. And then you hear prophecy. After you finish with all women, you enter church. And then they say, God, I will use you mightily. You know, if you are sincere, you even first say, no lie, this one don't see anything. And if true, you are not going to increase. If you are sincere, you begin to think and believe that true, I am a borrowed vessel. You know, I am a borrowed vessel. You know, I'm not qualified. You will know, and it will keep you humble. You will go fornicate before you come, and then God will use you. You will become more humble, not like this, because our God does not have double standard. He will not condone sin in you and promote you. He will not. You should be afraid instead. And so, this is the problem we have with the Christian faith. Ministers of God, know this God we are serving, so that we will serve him acceptably. Okay. I'm not the one that preached. If you want to say anything concerning what Pastor Lumide, come and start, answer a question. Any question? Give him a microphone. Olu. Everybody will answer for himself. Okay, see that if they didn't go your way, I will call you. Yes, please.
I want to ask two questions, sir. The first one is that concerning a woman teaching in the church.
Teaching in the church.
Yes, sir. If there's a church, it's a growing church, and the man is not yet ready and not willing to teach, and not really dedicated men, but the sister there is gifted teaching. Is it permitted to teach? That's the first question.
Let's be very sincere with ourselves. Don't help God. Don't help God. You see, Saul was given specific instruction. But he used his sense and did not kill everybody. He left some animals. God said, it is obedience is better than sacrifice. But Jesus himself, the Lord, he said, the harvest is what? But what? The laborers are. What is the solution? Solution. When you don't have enough people to join you to walk, pray. God will bring them and will walk with you. Don't go ahead like that king because the prophet delayed to come. He decided to go and offer the sacrifice himself. God bless you.
The second question, sir, is concerning if somebody is an agent in the church, sending people away from the church, and they have revealed to you, and you see the action that even members are also saying, this person is not with us. He doesn't believe what they believe. He's sending their members out. So I'm asking, is it right to send the person, say, this church, you can try under church? Is this right to send the person to go under church?
But it depends on the position of the person. If the person is in leadership position, you remove him from that leadership. Let him remain in the congregation. You remove him from the leadership position to save the sheep. But leave him in the congregation. And the truth is, by the time you remove him from leadership position, because that is the only place he can strike, he will even be angry and leave the church. But if he's reduced or he's just a church member, you will hold him by the offense he has committed. Be specific. Don't generalize it. You did this and it is confirmed. You warn him. You warn him second time. He still does it. You excommunicate him for the purpose of him to repent and come back. But if he goes and continues abusing you outside, then you know it's not of your fault. Let him go. But don't just say somebody say this. No, you must investigate. You must let him know you did it. We want you. You did it again. We want you this time. Get out of the church. And don't use revelation to judge anybody. Not even your own revelation. I saw that this is the person doing this in your dream. It must be confirmed physically. Then you judge it. Not to say somebody who is very, very anointed. Prophet Joseph, come to me, because I know he's a confirmed prophet. Say, Daddy, the Lord said, if you want this church to progress, chase away Benjamin. For me, you are wasting your time. Amen. Yes, sir. I will not be ordered by a revelation to do anything. Never. You only call my attention to that thing you say Benjamin is doing till I confirm it. Because you don't know whether the one used me settle problem between the two of them. Because the people that some of these gifted people can be very carnal, very, very carnal. So be very careful when you have a prophet in your church. Be very, very careful. They can manipulate you. And when they tell you, I saw this, and you don't act on it, they will start to be angry with you. You don't know that they want to use you to deal with somebody. Be very, very careful. Okay. Any other question? Yes.
Shalom. Shalom, sir.
Yes.
Please, my name is Benjamin. My question is picked from 1 Corinthians chapter 16.
Yes.
Verse 1 to 3. And I read. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have written, I have given order to the Church of Galatians, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prepared him. That day be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you liberally unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now, I want a clarification, or I want to be clear on something here. Now, when we come to the church setting, this very place, I want to understand, is it that Apostle Paul, in his apostleship evangelism, he established the church in Corinth, and he is now giving them instruction to gather the collection that it will be sent to Jerusalem, as some denominations do. They go around to collect their tithes and offering and send to their headquarters. I want to understand if it's same, or I want to get a deep understanding of this very place of prayer. Thank you.
In Acts chapter 2, those last three verses there. Listen very well.
Acts chapter 2 from verse 45.
Listen.
And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men.
From verse 44.
And all that believed were together.
Listen very well.
And had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need.
Uh-huh.
And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Now, one identification of the early church was care for the needy brethren. And so the Corinthian church had heard of the difficulty of brethren in Jerusalem, what they were going through. They on their own gathered the offering. And Apostle Paul was aware of it. I was telling them in that letter, put everything together before I come. He's on his way somewhere. He'll be passing through there, from there to Jerusalem. Then I will collect this offering for them, not the headquarters. They were needy brethren because the church was under serious persecution by the religious leaders. So they were needy brethren. And he got to know, and he said, you either give me, I take it there, or you elect some people that will follow me, and they will go and give it to them. It was not an instruction that every time people should be gathering and sending to Jerusalem. No, it was on specific occasion, and the church on their own gathered. They only sent Apostle Paul. As they go to Jerusalem, come collect them, send it. And he's telling them, before I come, make sure you put everything together so that when I come down, they gather the two and one gather. Nothing more.
Thank you.
Yes, of course, the denomination have ceased it to say Jerusalem is the headquarters. Okay. Oh.
Thank you, sir. Please, I have a second question.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, where the revelator spoke of the Asian cities he used to represent the stars. William Branham, in the study of William Branham's sermons, he spoke about seven church ages, where he likened unto those Asian communities, or how do I put it? And in the light of further revelation, we understand that in Luke, that we have two dispensations. But in that category, seven dispensations, which he indicated that we are in the seventh church age, that is the Laodicea church age now. Now, with the further revelation that we have two dispensations, which we know we are in the grace dispensation now. Now, we know that currently we are in the end time. Should we still term it Laodicea church age? I don't know if the question is clear.
Please, there are some revelations that is further revelation. There are some revelation we have now is correction of error. It's not a further revelation. That means the first one you have accepted it. That you are going deeper. So what you are saying now was complete error about men that we are choosing to be the star messengers. It's not further revelation. It's error. Complete error. So we are actually making a U-turn, not further. Yes, history has proved it, that the church has undergone phases. And we have a beautiful type to confirm it. The building of the Temple of Solomon is the likening to the building of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because Solomon is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. David is a type of God the Father. Remember that he built David prepared all the materials for the building of the temple before the son was handed over the task. So there is nothing new. There was nothing, no other thing was done by Solomon other than what the father had made provision for. And the building, you know, the stones for that building, they were all made ready by David. So that when it was time for the building, all that they needed to do when it was time for the building, at every junction, they only look for the stone that will fit in there. And the Bible said throughout the period of the building of that temple, there was no sound of chisel or hammer. The stones were already prepared. Brethren, the materials for God to use for the building of the Church of Jesus Christ have been prepared from the foundation of the world. And when you come into the ministry, you're already coming a prepared person. Anytime you are in a ministry and you are struggling and you are fighting and you are not balancing, are you sure that is where you have been ordained to be? And so, the stone will just be fixed there. Bah. Where's this one for this one? Bah. They just put it there. Bah. And the building was going on. No chisel, no hammer to force anybody anywhere. How many years? And remember, those stones came from all over the world. Telling you that the building of the Church of Jesus Christ will be by materials from all over the world. How long did it take? 7 years. So we know a beautiful type of the seven church ages that will bring up together the body of Christ, the church, to be a spiritual church building. And so, for every age, there was an angel, a spiritual angel, that was watching over the fivefold ministry of that age. Giving the spiritual food in due season. So, yes, history has shown with scriptures together, we can, and what the message is to the church at Laodicea is exactly what is going on now. So, we believe that this is the Laodicean church age. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
My name is Pastor Joseph from Ugokodo near Warri.
You're welcome, sir.
My question is a very simple one based on something that Daddy said concerning the fivefold ministry. The question goes like this. Can the Old Testament foreshadow or type the New Testament? Or maybe, let me...
Say what, sir?
I say, can the New Testament... No. Can the New Testament type the Old Testament? That is, in view of what you said concerning... four priests carrying the ark of God. That's where I coined my question from. I want to know more.
Whether,
thank you, sir.
Whether it can. What what we learn from the scripture is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 2.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat.
Listen.
Or in drink.
What you should eat, what you should drink.
Or in respect of
today
another day.
Today is Sabbath day, holy day.
Of the new moon.
We have
of
a
the
new
Sabbath
moon,
day.
All those ceremonies of the Sabbath days. What which, did he say they are?
Which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ.
Sorry, who asked the question? Where's the person?
I am here, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, sir.
So he said, it is all those laws, all those ceremonies. All those, he said, they are a shadow. If there is a shadow, there must be an image that the shadow is speaking of.
Correct.
And so the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. And Take for instance, for the atonement of sin, they were killing a lamb. That was it. That was the ordinance. But in that the New Testament, John said, now this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So, if you want to understand who Jesus Christ is, then you have to go to the Old Testament to see that Lamb for atonement. That is why the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. Jesus is the end of the law. For what? Righteousness. The Bible says so.
Sir, why I ask that question is because you said today in the fivefold ministry, there are only four. That is, without the ministry of the apostle. That is why I ask that question, that if there is four, that is the New Testament four, is foreshadowing or typing something in the Old Testament.
No, no, the Old Testament is the one typing the New Testament.
The Old Testament.
Yes, it's the one typing
the New Testament.
It's the shadow of the New. So we want to look at the shadow. The shadow, we have the ark.
Yes.
Now the ark is, that's where the word of God was placed. And the testimonies.
Yes.
They were kept there. And somebody was told, somebody prepared the ark. There was an expert that prepared that ark according to the specification given from above.
Correct.
That is a ministry.
Okay.
Then thereon, the ark will be moving from place to place. It was ordained that four priests, two in front, two behind, to carry it on their shoulder.
Correct.
And the apostolic ministry prepared the foundation. No other foundation you are to lay. We are to build upon that foundation. So, whenever you say God will call you, you are only going to carry on with what the apostles have already laid.
Correct.
And those that carry it are the remaining four. So, it's typing. That is what it typed under the law.
So, invariably, sir, it means that the Old Testament can type the New Testament, and the New Testament can type the Old Testament.
I'm just giving you a perfect example.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The New Testament is understood clearer if you understand the Old Testament. Everything there was speaking of Christ. The story of Samson is speaking about the church. The story of King Ahasuerus is about Israel and the Gentiles. The story of Joseph is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, the lamb they were slaughtering, the Passover lamb, Jesus is our Passover. The story of even Adam and Eve is the church of Jesus Christ. The story of I tried to bring this out some time ago, where we have children, a reflection of the mixed multitude in the church. I said we have some children, the same mother, but different fathers. They're in the church. That lets you know if the church has two groups of people, the wheat and the tares. Then we also have, in the Old Testament, we also have Abraham, same father, but different mothers. Ishmael and Isaac. Then we have Isaac again, Jacob and Esau. Same father, same mother, but different natures. They are all mystery of the kingdom. So it helps you understand the church. So that when you see what is going on, you already understand there's a type that we will watch and see what we are fulfilling. God bless you. Who again?
Shalom, sir.
Yes.
Sir, this question now, I want to ask Pastor
Olumide. Oh, yeah. Olu.
I ain't going to answer my question first. Okay. Based on the topic, perfectness, I want to ask him if me, as a mere mortal man, am I qualified to introduce God? I mean, just come out and start to introduce God.
To introduce God, can yes. you break it down?
Am I qualified to introduce God himself?
I'm not understanding you, sir.
Now, what I mean is this, that God is too big to introduce.
I will answer him.
And so that's why I'm asking. If I mean, as
listen,
you preached that we must be perfect. That's why I want to ask if I am qualified to introduce God. First,
I think the question is if you are qualified to introduce God to who?
I mean, what I mean is that ordinarily, am I qualified? In fact, am I due to introduce God as a man?
To who?
To people.
Fine. That is what I want to hear. You are not qualified until you are endued with power. You shall receive power. After what? And what will happen? It is then you can be a witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You are not qualified until you are endued with power. You cannot witness what you don't know. It is what you know that you can introduce. That is the meaning of witness. God bless you.
Sir, I'm not done yet. I have another question here. Sir, I want to be clarified in this one. And the scripture here is Isaiah chapter 58 from verse 6. And I'm not with my eyeglass.
It's not this the fast that I've chosen to lose the bands of wickedness. Don't do the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke.
Another one is Revelation related. Revelation 2:7. 2:7, I think so.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him the overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Sorry, it's Matthew 17 verse 21. Matthew 17:21.
Okay. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting.
Wait, sir, what I want to ask here is based on the two fasting.
Please talk to microphone so we can.
Based on the two fastings that were stated there. So I want to be more clarified, you know. Let me know why this one says this kind of fasting and the other kind of fasting. So why I want to know, let me understand so that I know what to teach.
About fasting,
based on the Isaiah 58 and Matthew 17.
So let people say that it's white fasting. Fruit fast, water fast, whatever you call it, fasting means abstinence. That's all. Please give me volume so that they can hear. My voice is gone. Please help me. I've been complaining since. Give me volume. See, Samuel, don't let me look immature by fighting you publicly. We should be fighting secretly, not publicly. I said, give me volume. I've been complaining since. You want to finish my voice? Don't you know that I have program this week? Listen, fasting is fasting. Fasting means abstinence. And you are the one to determine what you are to abstain from. There's no law. However, in Isaiah 58, the Spirit of God was rebuking them. You say you are abstaining. You say you are fasting. But the thing you are abstaining from, you are instead keeping it in a store. So that when you finish the abstinence, you go back to it. Why not sacrifice it completely? During that period, the food you should eat, give it to the poor to eat. Not to keep it in the evening, then you eat double. Use that period of your abstinence and give. It is then your fasting will be acceptable before God. That is the teaching there. But in Matthew 17, somebody's child was possessed. And the disciple prayed, oh, the demon refused to go. But when they came and told Jesus, the Lord Jesus went and bam, the demon left. And the disciples asked him, come, why were we not able to? And Jesus says two reasons. Number one is your faithlessness, lack of revelation, which is what I've been talking here since, knowledge. But in addition to it, this type, stubborn spirits like this, it is only one who lives a consecrated life of fasting. You fast regularly. Because fasting also, you know, enables your spirit man to be on top. And that type of fast goes with doing things spiritual. It's always praying. It's always connecting, doing something spiritual. He says only such people that can cast out that type of demon easily. You disciples, when I've been fasting, then you are there every time. You're just sleeping and eating and eating and eating. Then we have meeting case. And I think you see the advantage of fasting. So that is the two fasts he's talking about. God bless you.
Lastly here, by the grace of God, I want to also...
Maybe that's why it's easier for me to cast out spirits too, because I live a fasted life. Maybe. In addition to revelation.
Now, in this Revelation chapter...
Because we went to Equatorial Guinea. We went to Equatorial Guinea with Prophet Joseph.
Yes, sir.
For a program in a church.
Yes, sir.
And I was at the pulpit there. And Prophet Joseph went at the back and saw one woman.
Yes, sir.
And said, you. He just said, and you. He said, oh, you have seen me, Abi. The demon started talking. Oh, you have seen me, Abi?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said, in the name of Jesus, said, leave Jesus there. It's me and you.
Yes, sir. Fear caught me. Oh.
So my brother stood there. He was looking at me. He's like, my help me.
Yes, sir.
It happens.
Yes, sir.
So, and he was coming after him. They were battling, the coordinators were battling to keep the woman. She was coming, and she had a child. Just drop the child. No, it's you. In the name of Jesus, I said, leave Jesus in this matter. It's me and you.
Yes, sir, correct. He said, leave Jesus alone. He said, me and you now.
We have seen all manner of things. So I stepped down from the pulpit and I went, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, at the count of seven.
The demon left.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. So it's good to live a fasting life. Yes.
Sir, yes, sir. In Revelation chapter 2, I think from verse 7, that one that we just read before. Please, Revelation 2, 7. Revelation 2, 7 here.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Please, leave this thing. Leave the verse there. Let me leave the something. He said churches. The word churches there is what I want to know about. Let me ask if maybe the Spirit of God knows that there will be churches in the whole world.
No, it's talking about the church ages. Talking about the ages. The seven churches in Asia. Talking about the seven church ages. He's not talking about Redeemed Seller and Baptist.
Okay, sir. Lastly here, the 2 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 7. Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 11.
11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Verse 11, there, I think is, and now, my friends, goodbye. Is it verse 11? 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. But there's a verse that says striving to be perfect. Strive to perfection. So why I brought something here is that I saw Bible said what it means that we are still striving to get to perfection.
Talk to microphone.
We are striving to get to perfection. So based on what Pastor Olumide preached here last week, is all of us perfect? I mean, is there anybody that is perfect in life? Are we striving to get to perfection?
But is there a commandment for us to be perfect?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Which scripture?
I think the one he quoted.
Which one did he quote? The one I know is Matthew 5:48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48.
Be ye therefore perfect.
Who is the one speaking?
The Lord Jesus.
Who is the one speaking?
The Lord Jesus.
Be ye therefore
perfect. Even as the Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1, verse 2.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection.
Unto what?
Perfection.
And he added, not laying
again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism.
And we say perfection in the context that is used both by Christ and by Apostle Paul. It's not talking about sinlessness. It's talking about maturity. And Apostle Peter told us about the spiritual growth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 5.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
You see the growth now.
And to virtue
knowledge. This is what we strive for perfection. This is how you achieve the perfection.
Add to your faith virtue.
The Christian faith you have, add to it virtue. You grow to make it virtuous.
And to virtue, knowledge.
Make sure you have knowledge of what you believe.
And to knowledge, temperance.
Temperance.
And to temperance, patience.
You see how you are building on top?
And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
And what is the final cup of it all?
And to brotherly kindness, charity.
That is there you are perfect. That is it. That is the identification of that matured Christian. Yes.
Shalom.
So we strive. We are striving to build it, to build on. Next person, yes.
Good evening.
God bless you, sir.
Sir, I've been benefiting a lot from your teaching.
Thank you, sir.
And it has made me what I am today. From your teaching, it has made me to even conquer somebody that is almost dead.
We can hear you clearer if you talk louder.
Okay.
Thank you.
What I'm trying to say here is that since I have started listening to the entire message 2014 up to this very particular moment, it has made my spiritual life completely change. And
amen.
This is what I am today. By your teaching, I apply it and it works.
Amen.
My mother-in-law came to my house. She was sick. Life was going out of her. When I speak the words, using the power of the spoken word, she came back to life.
Amen. Use your hand and worship the Lord. Thank you.
Sir, I remember.
Yes.
Even this year, my wife has been sick along the line. We even called on you. We went to different hospitals for treatment. It says she has heart failure, that her heart has failed, that she will not be able to live. You know, we see the cardiologist quite okay, but the cardiologist was not giving us any word of encouragement. Along the line, I'm praying with her. We call on you, sir, and you responded. In fact, I appreciate you for that. You give us assurance. You pray for her. Give us assurance that let her continue to pray. You instructed me to carry out some instruction of which I followed. Though we had to go back to the hospitals, but along the line, as you gave me the instruction, we pray over it. Today, she is well.
Amen.
We didn't go to the hospital.
What is your question, sir?
My question is that I want to advise that I discovered that the entire message, apart from the Bright Assembly in Lagos, I don't know if there is any other one that is coming up effectively. And I have a little advice to give. I discovered that most of the entire message pastors, in fact, we are lacking in the knowledge of the Word of God. So I will maybe, please, sir, if you can create a kind of an institution that maybe once in a while, either you do it on WhatsApp, you put it on WhatsApp on your website or online, we can get across all these principles that can guide us and help us to grow in the faith.
Thank you.
And another question is this. You said that we should study the word. How do we study the word? Because some people are reading the Bible, they're not studying the word. To study the word, it involves so many things, meditation and other things. But you will discover that most people read the Bible, they don't understand it. And they say they are pastors. Once you say that you are a pastor and you don't know what you are doing, how will you feed your congregation? So please, if we can find a way that can help us, I think it will help us. I think with Pastor Olumide, that I know, God has blessed him also with the knowledge of teaching. And my last question is that, what is the difference between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit?
God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. First and foremost, I agree with you that you can't teach what you don't know. Therefore, we should study. But know that understanding comes from the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of understanding. The Holy Ghost will come and teach you all things. He's a teacher. And He raised among us the teaching ministry. So what you do is to locate that teacher that you know. You said you don't know if there are other churches apart from Bright Assembly. There are. The difference, I mean, is you know us because we have a platform like the Bright Television. The rest are not on the TV. So you may not know them. You see, honestly speaking, let me tell you this, and that is the truth, and I lie not. The purpose, the initial purpose of the Bright Television was to be an avenue for all end time message preachers to have a place where they can come and be preaching the message. It was not meant for Bright Assembly Church alone. The initial purpose of the Bright Television. Until we discovered that even among the entire message people, largely they follow what William Branham said, so they don't even believe on television. And we therefore discovered also that many of those who we are trying to use this platform, if I said this is our station, we expected that they will also come and support this. You want to use a platform that we didn't build, we pay for it. You want to advertise your program using a Bright Television and you don't identify with it. Then secondly, we were also scared that many people who claim they are followers, they had a different agenda. So we are being careful to promote anybody that way again, when people go to them, they see something else. So because of it, we stopped it. We stopped it because time proved what our fear was. That many people, they even leave us, even those who are following us, pastors. How many? We see them on Zoom. How many do we promote? How many? The only time when they want us to make people know about their ministry, they will now come and invite us. Please, can you come? Because they know if we say our ministers are going somewhere, we will advertise it on TV. And anytime we advertise a program, we are coming anywhere. All the people that are online around that area, they will come there. So they also use it as opportunity to come. But that church, they will not connect them to our live programs. We are not stupid now. We are seeing things now. You say you identify with us, but you don't want your members to know us. If not, why are they not following us? Why are you not putting your TV on the screen in the church for our live services? I say live services, where the whole world is sitting down and listening to something. Why are you not encouraging them to visit our website? If you are benefiting from us, why don't you want your members to also benefit? Why are you not directing them to the source where you are hearing that way in the conference? So that you will be looked as, something. So, the truth is they are there. But maybe one day they will grow too and have their own channel. Then everybody will know them too. Can you see why? Anyway. So that is it for that. You say we should create a forum where we can come together and teach. We already have the forum, Bright Television. So you are the one to have data so that you can connect.
For the sake of this conference that we have, there is something that you do that we don't know. Please teach us how to study the Word of God.
This is exactly what I'm saying now.
Yeah.
Listen to us.
Okay.
If you believe that we have something you don't have and you want to have what we have, then join us in all our program every Saturday, 7 p.m. We have Rapture Watch where we bring up deep, deep things.
No, as far as I'm concerned, I'm watching this television in my house for 24 hours.
That is you.
Throughout. It is the only
You are not the only one. You are not the only one. Is it Pastor Val, Valentine? Pastor Valentine there. You say your, is it your mother-in-law or is your own mother? Eh?
My own mother, 24 hours, the TV, she has two TV in the sitting room. One of the TV plays 24 hours bright TV.
You see?
She's always there. Pays her tithe and offering from there.
And with Bible and paper, anytime there is a teaching going on. So they are there. Internet technology has made things very easy now. You can see that. I think I better end it at that. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Next person.
Shalom to the bride of Christ. My name is Evangelist Obafemi Bamiloye from the Bride, Ready Bride Assembly Church, Ilorin, Kwara State. I use this opportunity to bless our dear Father in the Lord, Pastor Moses Halu. God
Thank
will
you.
Continue to renew your strength and give you fresh anointing in Jesus' name.
Amen, Jesus.
You are the Moses of our generation. No doubt about that. Because the biblical Moses took Israelites out of
Somebody slavery. Also called me a serpent seed. So
No.
I am to you.
Yes,
maybe
the
another
Moses
thing
of
to
our
another
generation.
Person. Thank you for the commentary. God
yes,
bless
sir.
You. Your question,
Amen.
Sir.
All right, sir. My question is on concerning your statement on Judas Iscariot. I'm not yet clear about it. Until I watch how my God become my savior. So it was now I prepared my questions. Now I have four questions on Judas Iscariot. The first one is, Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said he is our brother. How is it our brother, sir? Then number two, that Judas Iscariot made it to heaven. How did a man who did not receive Holy Ghost before he killed himself could make it to heaven? Then number three.
Let me answer them one by one.
Okay, sir.
Number one, what is the first question?
That he's our brother.
That he is?
Our brother.
Our brother. Our daddy here asked a question about the type, shadow and the type. Now, in the period of the law for atonement, Jesus was a Jew, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, when it was the day of atonement, who was the person, how did God describe the person that was qualified? Listen.
A fit man.
He said he's a fit man. There's somebody that is the one qualified to bring the sacrificial lamb on behalf of others. All have sinned, but one person will bring the lamb to be slaughtered on behalf of others. So, was Judas is a type of that fit man, that Jew, that will bring the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, on behalf of other sinful Jews. So, Judas went on my behalf. He's my brother.
That's Leviticus 16, verse 21.
So, it's there. Everybody knows about that law.
Leviticus
16, verse 21.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Then the second question. That Judas Iscariot made it to heaven.
Now, your question is, did he receive the Holy Ghost? Did Abraham receive the Holy Ghost?
No, sir. There was no Holy Ghost at the time.
Eh?
There was no Holy Ghost.
When did the Holy Ghost come? Was it after Judas died or before he died?
After.
So why are you saying he's not qualified to go because he didn't have the Holy Ghost?
Okay, sir.
He was under a different covenant.
Okay.
He was circumcised.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Then the third question. Father, forgive them, for they do not what they do. Now, how could this Lord's prayer on the cross applicable to Judas, who had killed himself before the prayer? Because this kind of thing, the Catholic, they believe in purgatory, that after the death of a sinner that failed to repent, if a sinner that failed to repent died, they will pray for the soul to be purified and we don't believe that.
We don't believe it because it's not applicable under grace.
Okay.
Under the law, the ultimate punishment God gave every Jew, the ultimate was removing your name from the book of the living. That is, you die. So death was a punishment. Judas elected the highest form of punishment and killed himself as a sign of regret for what he did. So he repented.
Sir, you said he repented?
Sure.
But sir,
he said it. Now, did he not confess that he has killed an innocent man?
Yes, sir.
He confessed. Did he return, make restitution? He returned the money. He repented. It's this Pharisee that did not repent.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says it. Matthew 27.
And can I say something again?
Okay.
The person that identified him, and the person that actually killed him, who is more guilty? Who is more guilty?
Sir?
Judas killed Jesus.
No, he betrayed him.
Eh?
He betrayed him.
Those that killed him,
yes,
did that prayer cover them?
Yes.
So why will he not cover Judas? Did he know what he was doing?
Yeah. But sir, I think the Lord Jesus Christ, sir, the Lord Jesus Christ gave him opportunities of repentance. Three opportunities that I know of. But he did not make use of any of those opportunities to repent.
Which opportunity?
Yes, sir. He said, ye, my disciples, are clean, but not all. John chapter 13, verse 10 to 11. Then, the Son of Man is going as it is written of him. But woe. Woe unto the man that betrayed him. It would have been better if he was not born. Matthew 26, verse 25. Then, but Judas remained adamant and unrepentant. Then the third one.
Listen very well. Okay. The Son of Man must be betrayed. But woe to him by whom the offense will come. The betrayal there was what Judas fulfilled. But notice something.
Yes, sir.
If you read the account very well, who ministered that demon to him? Okay. Eh?
Ah.
He ministered it to him.
How, sir? I don't know. I don't know how Jesus ministered demon. Because Jesus is Holy Spirit personified.
Let's read it. Let's read how it happened.
John chapter 13.
Listen very well. But we know the story of how the last moments of Jesus was. The last supper.
Yes, sir.
He gave himself, oh yeah, do. He really gave himself, oh yeah, do what? You are
verse 26. Sorry. John chapter 13, verse 26. Okay, okay, from verse 21. When Jesus said, from verse 21,
okay,
he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on and another, doubting of whom he spake.
Uh-huh.
Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who he should be of whom he spake.
Hidden lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said then Jesus what? Unto him, Doubt thou doest?
Do quickly. To confirm John chapter 10, verse 16 and verse 17.
Another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Now note verse 17.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.
Who killed Jesus? So, if there is anybody that committed suicide, Jesus committed suicide.
Woo. All right, sir. Yes, there is another one here. I want more explanation on the son of perdition. Because
our eyes of understanding, he has opened up. Listen very well. Wait, you don't get a break. Wait first. The mystery of redemption is deep, very, very deep.
Yes, sir.
Let me even tell you the ultimate of all this revelation. Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Maybe you don't need to ask any other question when I tell you this. In Exodus 21, listen to that law of the ox. Please read it.
Exodus chapter 21 and verse 28.
Please listen very well. Remember that the law is a shadow of grace. Listen very well. The day this thing was quickened to me, I was scared. I've shared it before, but those who didn't hear it, listen. Read it.
If an ox gore a man or a woman,
this is the law,
that they die, then the ox shall be stoned. And his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be cooked.
It's not guilty.
But if the ox were wound to push with his own,
if that past, ox is known for doing that type of thing in the past,
and it has been testified to,
and
owner,
the owner has known that this is what he does,
and he has not kept it in,
and he did not cage it,
but that he has killed a man or a woman.
Now, because he didn't cage it, now he has gone to kill somebody.
The ox shall be stoned.
That ox shall be stoned,
and his owner also shall be put to death.
And the owner of the ox shall also be put to death. Satan has been known, notorious. Who created Lucifer?
God.
You know what he has done in the past. Now, each of you to cage Satan. You release him. Now in the Garden of Eden, he went now and killed man. So who will pay for what Satan did is the God himself. That's why God came by himself to pay the price for the redemption.
Praise the Lord.
How is it?
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is very, very clear to me now.
Simple.
That is why what I usually tell my people when I was in Braham Tabernacle, Ilorin. We have Braham Tabernacles all over Nigeria now. When I was in one in London, that's not their name, oh, I called them Braham Tabernacles. So I told them, I called my former pastor, don't criticize Pastor Moses Halu. Listen to him. Now, you have explained all this thing to me. I'm now clear. So please, listen to him. Invite him for a convention and table all your questions before him. He will answer by the Holy Spirit, just as you have done to me now. It is very, very clear to me now that, yes, Judas Iscariot made it because he has a ministry. God bless you, sir. Thank you, sir. God will increase your faith.
Church brothers, ministers of God, can we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of our convener? Please, let's be on our feet and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard a very powerful exhortation from Pastor Olumide, and then now, question and answer.